Good morning. On behalf of the family, I want to welcome all of you here for this celebration of someone that's dear to all of us. Solomon wrote the book of Ecclesiastes, and he was a master at observing life. But what he observed mostly throughout almost all of his book was life under the sun, what life looks like under the sun. And there are some pessimistic things, there's some observations of their cycles of life that we can do nothing about. And his conclusion through almost all of the book was life is like a vapor, meaningless. Everything's meaningless, looking at life under the S-U-N. But by the end of the book, although he's not referring to Jesus, he's referring to God in our response to him, that life looks a lot different under the S-O-N. He wrote in chapter 3, there is an appointed time for everything, and there is a time for every event under heaven, a time to give birth and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to uproot what is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to tear down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance. Isaiah makes it clear that when we accept life under the S-O-N, this is the promise, that he will swallow up death for all time. And the Lord God will give tears, will wipe tears away from all faces, and he'll remove the reproach of his people from all the earth, for the Lord has spoken. Let's stand together if we sing this familiar hymn. In Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Have we trials and temptations? Is there trouble anywhere? We should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Can we find a friend so faithful who will all our sorrows share? Jesus knows our every weakness. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Are we weak and heavy laden? Cumbered with a load of care. Precious Savior, still our refuge. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Do thy friends despise, forsake thee? Take it to the Lord in prayer. In his arms he'll take and shield thee. Thou wilt find a solace there. At this time, we invite the Navy Honor Guard to come and give tribute to one who served our country in the Vietnam War. Let's bring back some memories and a little slide presentation here that shows the life lived by Ray Milotte. Actually, Danny's going to come now and share thoughts about his dad.
Hi, everyone. I'm Danny. Ray and Abby's youngest. When I was a teenager, as some of you know, I was their biggest headache. My family and I would like to thank everyone for coming, especially those who have traveled long distances to be here. Dad was a beloved father, husband, grandfather, uncle, brother, and friend. He was born an only child, but became a brother to many when he married my mother. 8, 9. Born and raised in rural Pennsylvania, Dad spent his early years living on a farm with no running water or indoor plumbing. They cooked and heated the house with the wood stove in the kitchen. When we were kids, Dad would love to remind us of his humble beginnings, telling us how he walked 10 miles to school in the snow, uphill both ways. Also, when we got cold and wanted the heat on, it was either start a fire or get a blanket. Following his school years, Dad joined the Navy during the early Vietnam era and worked as a flight crewman searching for submarines in the Pacific on the USS Yorktown. He was always proud of his time in the service. It must have been a great adventure for a Pennsylvania farm boy to call on ports around the Pacific Rim. He met Mom in Southern California, where they were married in 65, then he left the next day on his last cruise. The first of their four children, Marge, was born in California soon after Dad's time in the service. Then they moved to Chambersburg, Pennsylvania, where the three boys, Ray, Andy, and I, were born. Dad worked for Sears in Pennsylvania repairing appliances. Around 76, we moved to the suburb of Philadelphia called Levittown. Dad worked as a contract instructor in Levittown teaching naval recruits and for a time utilized the GI Bill to attend Penn State. After a few years there, my mom expressed her desire to live closer to her family on the West Coast. So after speaking with Mom's sister, Nani, and taking a trip out to Bremerton, they returned home and put the Levittown house up for sale. It was 79 when we drove cross-country in a pickup and a station wagon with everything we owned in tow, two adults, four kids, and our dog, Peppy. As you can imagine, it was quite an adventure for us kids. I was 6, and the two things I remember are Neil Sedaka and the pee jar. So. Upon arriving in Bremerton, we stayed with Rick and Nani and their daughters, Sonny and Glenda, in a four-bedroom house. Soon after, Mom's sister, Bo, and her husband, Jim, joined the two families in Bremerton, where we purchased a 5-acre plot of land and planned to build 3 family homes. Andy and I were pretty young, so Dad and Robin did most of the building on the house, but we all chipped in when needed. Dad would work all day at Bangor, then come home at night and work until dark. This is the kind of work ethic Dad instilled in his children. As children, we enjoyed fishing with the family, and us boys always enjoyed going shooting and hunting with Dad through our early teens. He taught us about love through spending time with us. When we found out Dad was sick, he told me that it was in God's hands now. He remained positive through his sickness, and he continued to be active and kept a positive outlook through to the end. I went to a couple concerts with Dad over the last couple years. His love for music, his Mariners, and his Corvette were the things he would talk about. He also loved meeting with his buddies on a weekly breakfast on Thursdays. My brother Andy would call this the Grumpy Old Men's Club. Otherwise known as Romeo, retired old men eating out. What Dad loved best, though, was his family. He told us all the time how proud he was of all of us. My mom and dad had their 50th anniversary last year, and their love for each other is such a positive influence for everyone. Sorry. I think I can speak for all of us kids and say we would not be the people we are without the love, responsibility, kindness, humility, compassion, creativity, honesty, I can't see, sorry, humor, respect, and everything else that we are taught by our parents. So we would also like to say thank you to our amazing mother, who has been there and continues to be there for every one of us at any time. We love you, Mom, and thank you, Dad, thank you, for teaching us how to live and love each other well. Thank you.
So that's a great start. Maybe it triggered other memories in you. So we're going to open it up. I realize there's quite a few people here, but this is about celebrating a life. So there's just a couple principles to follow. One, please first state your name and your relationship with Ray, because we are recording this and may not be able to recognize your voice on the tape. And then try to keep it brief. Emphasis on brief, and that way more people could share. And also, tears are allowed. God made us with emotions, and so the story can just be a short memory or something funny, something serious, there's something very important about this aspect of a service. It helps in the healing process, because the impact of a loved one on the people around us has a great impact on the lives of the family. So that's why we do this, so that they can hear a story maybe they have never heard before. And I also encourage you, one of the two greatest fears that people have, one is fear of falling. Two is fear of public speaking. That's number two on the list. So we understand that if you don't feel comfortable, but I encourage you to find something or send a card in the days to come with your memory or your thought on that and get it to the family. So we have some gentlemen with microphones, and also please talk into the microphone, because that is how it gets on the tape. I know most of you will say, well, everybody can hear me. Not really, not with the fans going and all those things. Plus it won't get on the tape. So if you just raise your hand and there will be a microphone close.
If this is on, my name is Merrill Kronk. My wife, Marilyn, and I got to know Ray and Abby probably back in, well, I'm not sure of the year, but we were at Crossroads Neighborhood Church at the time. We had quite an active, I'm going to call it a youth group. It was middle marrieds, I think, but anyway, I will always remember parties at the Hines house or other gatherings, and Ray and Abby were certainly a part of it, but we took a few field trips. One of them was to Lake Roosevelt on a houseboat, and, you know, eating makes the meeting, and when I think of Ray, I got to think of Abby and food. And so they were kind of the chief cook and bottle washer on that trip. And I remember Ray got off the boat on shore and took a little hike and came back in a rush. He'd encountered a rattlesnake on the trail, and that apparently was not one of his favorite things. Another thing I remember was a trip that we took and floated the Yakima River. And we were Ray, Abby, Norma, Barry, and I, and there might have been another couple, I'm not sure, but we were floating down the river, and all of a sudden, Ray was sitting towards the stern of the rubber life raft. All of a sudden, Ray was gone. And we looked around, and we didn't see him, and we reached down, and he came shooting up out of that water and back into that boat. We didn't realize it, but he didn't swim. And we were getting kind of a chuckle out of it. We were pretty ashamed afterwards. We found out that that was really a fear of Ray's. But over the years, I can recall that Ray was one who was very, very proud of his family. And, you know, some things just go together. When you say Ray, it's Ray and Abby. And it's going to be hard to realize it's just Abby.
My name is Loretta Bailey, and I think Ray and Abby and the kids and us go back, I think, at least 30 years anyway. But Ray and my husband used to go hunting and bowling. And when we were going out the house today, Jeannie said, "Mom, you think Dad and Ray are up there hunting or fishing or bowling right now?" And I said, "Well, you know, heaven's going to be a wonderful place, so who knows?" But I'll always remember the times that Ray and Abby's playing pinochle, even though didn't know what I was doing, we still played. But we just enjoyed their family so much, and we're going to miss them too.
I'm Vern Godfrey, and Ray, I never heard him laugh, but he always was smiley, and I can see now why. He had it all until he met the Lord, and then the Lord took him home, and now he's really got it all. Ray was very generous. When I was running low on wood, I called him, he said, "Come on over, I got wood." So he loaded that Ford up till it wouldn't hold another piece. And he always was very quiet. He didn't push his way through life. He didn't take a back seat either. So I just praise the Lord for having known Ray Milot. Thank you.
My name is Jack Childers. Ray and I and Abby and Doris go back a long way. Ray was one of my favorite hunting partners. He and I used to hunt over in Republic area all the time. And one day we were hunting up on the top of a ridge, and he was out tracking a deer, and we lost him. We couldn't find him. And so we drove around. We finally found him down on the Indian reservation. He tracked that deer clear down off the mountain down into the valley. So later on, we put a sign up on the ridge. They're called Ray's Ridge.
Hello. My name is Butch Miller. I've been a neighbor at Ray's for as long as they've been where they're at. I don't know if I've ever met a man like him. Unlike me, I never, ever heard that man say a foul word, I should say. Never. And we'd run into each other all the time. He'd be going to get the paper for Abby, and I'd run into him. And then, unfortunately for Abby, she would get the paper anywhere from 45 minutes to an hour later. And when him and I were pretty close, and I always enjoyed being around him because he was always so positive. And when he told me he had cancer, kind of set me back. But when you get this age, things like this happen. But through it all, he never, ever had a negative attitude about it. He was always up. I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do that. And he told me a story about having a Corvette when him and Abby were either going together or after they got married. And after he told me he had cancer, he said, "You know what I'm doing?" And I said, "No, what are you doing?" He said, "I'm getting a Corvette." And I said, "You're getting a what?" He said, "A Corvette." So I'm sitting down in front of my house having coffee, and I can see up where you go down the dirt road to his house. And I'm sitting there one morning, and I look, and here goes a Corvette. And I'm going, "I don't believe this." So anyway, I go down there, and I said, What is this?" He said, "Well, I told you, I'm getting a Corvette." In closing, I'd just like to say that Ray was a a loving man. He always spoke about his wife, his children, and he's really going to be missed. I know I'll miss him. So,
hello. My name is Danette Chu, and so I think I'll speak for my section right here. This is the Chu section. I just want to thank Auntie Abby and Uncle Ray. All we know in our family is that anytime we need them, the Malotts, Uncle Ray, Auntie Abby, we lost our dad in 2009. We lost our mom in December. And anytime we needed them, they're there for us. I mean, even prior to our parents being gone, we just know that they're the most reliable. And Uncle Ray was a very peaceful man. And anytime I know if I came in contact with him, just always smiling, always sincere, always, you know, something positive and fun to say, and just the biggest smile on his face. And so I just wanted to say on behalf of the Chu family that we're very grateful, and we love your family very much, Auntie, and we'll be here for you always.
I encourage you to jot your thoughts down. It's very important to the family. Thank you for sharing. Well, let's stand together. The question always comes, does Jesus really care? When we go through all these struggles, the scripture is very clear that we can cast all our care upon him because he really does care for us. Does Jesus care when my heart is pained too deeply for mirth and song? And the way grows weary and long. Oh, yes, he cares. I know he cares. His heart is touched with my grief. When the days are weary, the long nights dreary, I know my Savior cares. Does Jesus care when my way is dark with a nameless dread and fear? As the daylight fades into deep night shades, does he care enough to be Oh, yes, he cares. I know he cares. His heart is touched with my grief. When the days are weary, the long nights dreary, I know my Savior cares. Does Jesus care when I've tried and failed to resist some temptation strong? When for deep grief I find no relief, through my tears flow all the day long. The next verse. Yes. Oh, yes, he cares. I know he cares. His heart is touched with my grief. When the days are weary, the long nights dreary, I know my Savior cares. Got to have the verse that got left out. Does Jesus care when I've said goodbye to the dearest on earth to me. And my sad heart aches till it nearly breaks. Is it aught to him? Does he see? Oh, yes, he cares. I know he cares. His heart is touched with my grief. When the days are weary and the long nights dreary, I know my Savior cares. Services such as this, although we call it a celebration of life, I sometimes like to call it a graduation ceremony, but it still carries a myriad of emotions, grief, sometimes relief as our loved one is free from the pain they were struggling. Sometimes it unearths fear of our own, sometimes guilt, sometimes wonder, sometimes regret, if I had only. But because of the hope in Jesus, we can celebrate the life that was and has graduated to new life with Christ. Paul didn't deny the grief that's associated with the death of a loved one. He just says we don't grieve as those who have no hope. He didn't say we don't grieve at all. And Paul encouraged those who began to see their loved ones die around them, because the early Christians really expected the return of Jesus in their lifetime. More so us today, several thousand years later. Unfortunately, the timing of their expectation was not the same as God's. And so they became overwhelmed with grief as to what happened to those who had died. And Paul left some encouraging words for those who were grieving their loved ones. We don't want you to be uninformed, wrote Paul, about those who are asleep, those who have died, so that you will not grieve as do the rest who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. We talk about hope. Our English word hope is not really best understood. It kind of is a little wishy-washy. We could say, I hope it doesn't get too hot today where we'll be. That's what our hope was. That means it may or it may not. We can hope that the Mariners win the next game. Sometimes that hope is very remote this season. But the biblical term for hope is a certainty. It's just the opposite. It means something that is very certain, something that will happen. So it's better probably translated in the scriptures, confidence. In reality, nothing in this life is certain. No one has hope from that perspective. But the biblical term hope, and because of the scriptures, we do have a certainty, and that's the reason that we don't have to grieve as those who have no certainty, no hope, no certainty of the future that Jesus told us all about. It's a future certainty that is not fully explained in the Bible, because I think if it was, we probably all would. I want to stay around here. In fact, Paul himself struggled with that. He said, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. He said, I'd much rather depart and be with Jesus. That word depart is very interesting. Ray would have been very familiar with the unmooring of a ship to go to the next destination. So Paul said, I'd rather unmoor this ship and go to the destination that God had. That's what I'd love to do. But he says, it's better for you that I hang out, and it's profitable because there's more chance for me to serve and minister to other people. So the Bible doesn't describe it a whole lot, but we know that there are certain physical aspects to the next life. There are social aspects, spiritual aspects, even geographical aspects. We're not just going to float around in nothingness. Buildings are described. We have a certainty of an everlasting life that Jesus said, because I live, you can live also. So that place that we speak of is often all summed up in the word heaven. Heaven. God determined that every human dies and answers for their life, but he has, I have prepared a place for you. And those who respond to Jesus will know and have their ticket punched for this place that Jesus has prepared. And I think Scripture teaches there are actually two aspects to this. There is a present heaven that is where Ray is right now. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So that's where he is right now. And then will come, at the end, the heavens and the earth get renewed, and the new Jerusalem will come down here. God will come down here and dwell. Jesus will be here, and everything gets restored, and we will actually live down here on this earth. So the current heaven is a real place. Scripture talks about streets of gold. It talks about trees and all kinds of different things. I like to view the current heaven as a 5-star hotel, where Jesus puts us up waiting for our permanent home down here. So Ray doesn't have to stay in the camp. He's not a camper. He gets this 5-star hotel waiting for the rest of us. Paul got a glimpse of this present heaven, and he says, I'm sorry, I just can't describe it to you. The Apostle John did his best to describe some heavenly scenes, and there is a greater use of the word like than in any other part of Scripture. Because that's all he could say. Well, it was like, it's not really this, but it was like this in the book of Revelation. And he describes some glorious and wonderful things. So there are many things there. I think maybe even animals there. And I know Ray loved animals. And who knows, God may resurrect some of our former pets. Because God's a loving God. And we may get to spend some time in eternity, or maybe you'll bring them down here again. There's at least one that I wish would not come back. I won't tell you what we call them. But anyway, never mind about that. So there are all kinds of things. There will be Jesus is there in his resurrected body. There are those who have gone before. And those who trusted God from ages past currently reside there in their temporary bodies waiting for the resurrection. I believe that they're keenly aware of current events going on here. And perhaps they even have a ministry of prayer for us. Sometimes I kind of hope that's not true, because I can just see my parents going, no, no, what are you doing? But maybe that'll trigger them to pray. Maybe that's how I get out of some of the stuff. But there'll be perfect peace, rest, perfect worship. The angels are worshiping there. The garden of God, paradise is there. Everyone enjoys this perfect fellowship and community. And one of my favorite things to look forward to when we get to heaven and the life on earth is no more drama. No more people drama. Because it'll all fit and it will, God intended it to work. So many cool things to look forward to there. Then one day Jesus will come back, and he has prepared us a place to stay. And there, the scripture says, we will be forever with the Lord. At the return of Jesus for his church, he will resurrect and renew the bodies of those who have died in Christ, along with those who will be taken up at his coming. This mortal will put on immortality. The weak will be made powerful. The perishable will be made imperishable. and we will function perfectly as God originally intended. Not until then will the promise of freedom from death's sting come about. Now, I've been to many services where they always quote this verse, "O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting?" But they forget the verse in front of it, that it says only at the return of Jesus will come about this saying. For now, death stings like crazy. So don't think it's a lack of faith because you feel that sting. That sting sometimes gets less, but I don't think that sting of grief ever fully goes away at the loss of a loved one. But there is victory in Christ. Jesus said, "He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son does not have life." Perhaps today is the day you become certain about your future. Perhaps today is the day that you too won't grieve as those who have no hope, no future certainty. Perhaps today is the day when death actually can be seen as gain. For those who trust in Jesus, there will come a day where they'll be raised up with him. And Jesus made it very clear. "For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who beholds the Son and believes in him will have eternal life, and I myself will raise him up on the last day." The writer of Ecclesiastes that we quoted earlier, Solomon, said, "It's better to go to a house of mourning than a house of feasting, because it's there that you contemplate the issues of life and death." Jesus calls us today to come to him for life. It's not without its struggles, but Jesus promised to travel with us because he does care. And ultimately, sometimes here on this earth, but ultimately there will be victory in Jesus, which is one of Ray's and Abby's favorite songs. Let's stand together and sing that song. I heard an old story, how a Savior came from glory, how he gave his life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about his groaning, of his precious blood's atoning. Then I repented of my sins and won the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. I heard about his healing, of his cleansing power revealing, how he made the lame to walk again and caused the blind to see. And then I cried, "Dear Jesus, come and heal my broken spirit." And someday Jesus came and brought to me the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. I heard about a dwelling he has built for me in glory, And I heard about the streets of gold beyond the crystal sea, about the angels singing and the old redemption story. And some sweet day I'll sing up there the song of victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is to him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. Father, thank you for the hope that you have given us in your Son, Jesus. There are so many things on this earth now that don't feel very victorious. There are moments in our life that don't feel victorious. But what counts is the end. Lord, I thank you for the privilege of knowing Ray, privilege of being able to talk with him and to know his love for you, his deep, incredible love for his family, the pride that he expressed for his family. It's becoming more and more a rare thing in our culture. We thank you for this life lived. We thank you that you've taken care of him. You are taking care of him. And we look forward one day to meeting again, that he's not lost. We didn't lose him. We know exactly where he is. And we're going to join him someday. Lord, will you especially give your sense of presence to the family, each family member? Having lost my parents, I know what it's like to lose a parent. The grief, the emptiness, the wonder that that creates. Will you come alongside? And we hold Abby up to you. So many things they did together, so many trips they took together. But will you especially be hers in these coming days? And we ask now your blessing upon the food that is about ready to be served and shared so graciously and wonderfully with all of us. It's in the name of Jesus we lift these things. Amen. You are invited to lunch afterwards. So, thank you for coming.